Time to get that multitasking 100 billion neuron connecting priority arranging segment of your wonderfully constructed brain to contemplate this. Ever wonder how many handshakes take place in a day? How many hugs happen? How many one-to-one face-to-face conversations go on? What about glances, kisses, laughs, and prayers, ways we connect? And you, right there, right now, how are you connected to the person next to you, the people around you, your friends, your enemies, the strange dude at the mall? How about the movies you watch, the books you read, the messages all around you? And how do you connect differently than people connected in the past? So many thoughts, ideas, blogs, texts, posts, and tweets these days. Everybody wants to connect to someone or something. And the World Wide Web of intersection and connection has changed everything. Get this. 1 out of 8 couples married in the U.S. in 2008 met through social media. Unfortunately, half will be divorced in 5 years, connected and disconnected. There are over 500 million active Facebook users who spend over 700 billion minutes per month clicking, posting, uploading, and downloading. An average user is connected to 80 community pages, groups, and events, and each person creates 90 pieces of content each month. Folks got a lot to share, lots to say. So much that the average user spends 55 minutes per day, 6.5 hours per week, or about 1.3 full days per month on Facebook. And that's just people sitting around home, because more than 200 million are on Facebook through mobile phones nowadays, because long lost are the days of landline phones, busy tones, and yeah, Davy Jones. And speaking of cell phones, in 2004, 674 million were sold, which is 105 million less than the 779 million sold in 2005, which is nothing compared to the almost 4 billion sold in the last 3 years. Some people in the world who don't have toilets or houses have cell phones. People really want to connect. But wait, there's more. 1 trillion text messages were sent in 2008, 1.5 trillion in 2009, and then it went up to 6.1 trillion just recently. That's 1,000 texts per person for every person on the planet. That's a lot of connecting. Yet this hasn't even scratched the surface. There's over 50 million tweets per day, over 60 million LinkedIn people, and 43 million people still visit MySpace per month. Then there's however many millions on Ning, Tag, Meetup, Bebo, My Yearbook, and Friendster looking at everything from post to pics to video. Speaking of which, it would take you over 27 years without sleeping to watch all the videos uploaded on YouTube just this week. Everybody wants to connect. Connect with a friend, connect with family, connect to the past, connect to the future, connect to God. Connect with God, the one who created connections, voices, images, ears, eyes, smiles, kisses, glances, faces, friends, music, color, stars, electricity, light, laughter, and love, just to name a few. Connect with him? And what does that mean? Well, you connect the dots.
We're going to be in the book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. We are continuing to go along with our Connected 3D study. We have some stuff that we're going to give you at the end of the service that I will let you know more about here in just a moment. First of all, I don't think anybody around here likes a fake, likes anything that's inauthentic, especially if you don't see it coming and someone pulls a fast one on you and you get swindled or you buy a forgery or something along those lines. Now, don't hear me hate on generic brands. I have generic brand stuff in my house. I have great value stuff from Walmart, or we have some Clover Valley eggs, which I think is the generic brand from Dollar General right now. So don't hear me hate on generic brands. But one thing about generic brands that I find funny is the way that some of them try to name their products to kind of harken back to what they're actually ripping off. And so this morning I'm going to give you a few examples of that. And so we have some pictures on the screen. Brad, if you'll go to the first one. This is Cream Betweens, the wonderful cookie. I wonder what they're trying to rip off. I bet they're not anywhere nearly as good as an Oreo, because I haven't ever had a generic Oreo that tasted like an actual Oreo. I don't know if anybody else has been there or not. What about the next one? I love the name of this one, Memories of Butter. Doesn't that just sound appetizing? You know, when you sit down and you have a nice, warm piece of bread in front of you that grandma made at home, and you think to yourself, you know what this is missing? Memories of butter. That's what this is missing. Obviously trying to go back to the I can't believe it's not butter. Maybe that's what they're trying to rip off, and they just, yeah, anyway. All right, next one. This one I loved as well, Panburger Partner, Hamburger Helper. I guess it's taking synonyms and squishing them together and figuring, you know what we're talking about, and we're not having to pay anyone for the copyright. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, these next two are my favorite, though. The next one is, instead of a Sharpie, how about a Scurpee? If you're ever needing to write anything down in semi-permanent ink, maybe a Scurpee would be better than an actual Sharpie. And then the final one, Adidos. The newest sports apparel in the world, Adidos. If you ever want to try that out when you're out jogging around the track, get you some Adidos jackets. Like I said, nobody likes to be ripped off. Nobody likes to be faked. You ask a guy if they ever tried to give their woman a fake diamond or something along those lines, it probably didn't go well. That's not a good Valentine's present, fellas, just in case you're wondering. Sports memorabilia, jewelry, art, there is long histories of these things being forged and people trying to sell them as legitimate when they're not. All you have to do is get on eBay today and you can find all kinds of sports memorabilia signed by famous people that it most likely is not real. At least there's no way to prove that it's real anyway. What if I told you, though, that all of us, in many ways, in this generation today, and when I say generation, I don't mean a particular age group, I mean all of us on the planet right now. What if I told you that all of us are victims of a great forgery? And the great forgery that technological connection actually equals spiritual connection. This morning I want to tell you something you already know, and that is the fact that technological connection does not equal spiritual connection. They are not one and the same. Technological connection does not equal human connection, real face-to-face interaction. Technological connection is something different. And I'm not just talking about the phone that I have in my pocket or the computer that we use to email people. I'm not just talking about newer technologies. I'm talking about all technology. Going all the way back to the advent of the television and then the radio, technology where we could connect with someone over long distances, even if it was via radio waves or radio programs beamed into our house, we felt that we could connect with those individuals. Those of you who can remember back to the kind of the golden era of news on television, like Walter Cronkite or something like that, you could probably remember that the men, the anchors that were on television and the news, they tried to build this rapport, and there seemed to be this connection. And I've heard people talk about it. I never really experienced that in my generation, but I've heard people talk about how they actually felt like they knew the people that were bringing the news into their home. But in reality, that connection, like all technological connections, is artificial. And really, you can even begin to talk about books. I know that's not technology, and I'm a fan of books, and I'm a fan of reading, so I hope that you do that. But any time where we connect with a story that is not ours, any time where we connect with someone who is not actually with us, we are missing a key ingredient of real human connection. And all of those things are good, but in a supplemental fashion. We need actual human connection, and we're going to hunt for it and find it wherever it is. This is kind of a truth about humanity, and we are seeing that to the nth degree in today's generation, where we search for connection even if it is artificial connection. Even if it is something that isn't as good as the real thing, we still search for it wherever we might be able to find it. Sometimes the artificial or the fake connection even feels easier. Like you're able to get what you're looking for out of connection without having to, you know, actually be a friend to someone and the responsibilities that come with it. As a part of this Connected 3D campaign that we're going through, we have a section of our website, and on that we have a lot of resources. And one of the resources that's on there is a TED Talk, those of you familiar with TED Talks, by a lady named Dr. Shelley Turkle. And she is talking about how technology is changing the way that we connect. And she had this line in it that I think kind of encapsulates how we use artificial connection in a way that isn't real or honest. She says this: technology gives the illusion of companionship without the demands of friendship, where you can actually connect with people and you can have tons of friends, or you can, like I said, even if you go back to television and radio, where you can actually have people take, for instance, television, a church on television or church online. This is something that I'm not, again, not hating on in a supplemental fashion. I believe it's a good idea. But if there is anyone who actually finds their desire that God placed in them to be a part of a community of faith, a community of people chasing after Jesus and trying to honor Jesus with their actions and their words and all of the things that we try to do as a church, if we try to satisfy that need by staring at a screen for an hour every Sunday morning, we are missing a key ingredient of what the church is about. Or if you take it again in more modern technologies, if we try to meet that need by plugging in our phone in our car, into our car on our way to work and listening to a podcast of some preacher we've never met face to face, we miss out on a key ingredient of what the church is about. The church is God's building blocks for relationships in the world. Beyond, you know, man and wife, marriage together, beyond that, the church is the place where connection happens. And when we find our connection through a screen, when we find our connection virtually online or with social media, we rob ourselves of something incredible about relationship. And also, even though it feels easier, even though it feels like we're not having to meet the demands of actual friendship, we are robbing ourselves of something greater. Social media could just as easily be called selfish media. Because a lot of times online, it ends up being about me and what I can tell you about me. There is no learning about someone else, actually connecting with someone else's life. Some might say that this idea of connecting online or connecting through any sort of technological means is better than nothing. That it's better than no connection. I'm going to go ahead and argue this morning that it's actually not. That it's worse than nothing. That connecting online gives us a false view of what connection, of what relationship is actually about. Because here's what I can do with relationships with people that I have technologically. If they say something that bothers me in text message, I cannot answer their next one and just go on about my day. If I get an email that is something that's deep and meaningful and requires some kind of actual meaningful response from me, I can just delete the email and forget about the person. I can end the conversation whenever I want to. I don't have to walk away. I just have to put my phone in my pocket. There's not an actual connection. There's not an actual relationship. Supplemental, it's good, of course, but in the end, it still ends up being all about me and turns out being less than nothing, worse than nothing. It's like artificial sweetener. Those of you who have ever studied artificial sweetener, you know that in Diet Cokes and other things like that, we have certain chemicals that we put together to make it taste like sugar. I've done a little bit of study on this lately. I say study, I've looked at like Wikipedia online and stuff, but I've looked at this online, and I know from other people that are much more authoritative than that as well. I'm just kind of kidding. That artificial sweetener, if it doesn't have any calories, That's the big thing, right? If someone's on a diet, you think if I can eat something that tastes like sugar but doesn't have any calories, that must be good. Because I could still eat something that tastes good, but I'm not getting any calories from it. So this must be a plus, right? This must be a good thing. No, actually it's not. Because here's what it means when something is zero calorie. It means that your body doesn't metabolize it. It means that your body doesn't actually break it down and turn it into energy. That's what calories are. In a food, it means how much energy your body gets from metabolizing and breaking down that food. High calorie food is very easy for our body to metabolize. But food that has no calories shouldn't even be called food. Because all it does is pass through your body. That's all it does. It doesn't give you any benefit. There is actually no nutritious value. And so when we think of zero calorie sweeteners, oh, that sounds like this thing that is amazing. But then in the end, we wonder why it gives us all these negative side effects that nutritionists are telling that zero calorie sweeteners now give us. It's because it's actually worse than nothing. It's not better than nothing. It's worse than nothing. It's worse than the thing you're actually substituting, which is sugar, which is terrible for you if you take it in large doses. Technology can be the same way if we use it in the wrong way. It brings nothing of value to us if we are not using it as a supplement to real human, real spiritual connection. But there is hope, because spiritual connection actually exists, and God is its author. And so this morning I want to focus on the first D of our three Ds. We'll do the last two next week. And the first D is to disconnect to connect. On the surface life, in 2017, it appears that we are more connected than we have ever been. Our reach has grown exponentially just in the last 5 to 10 years, certainly in the last several decades. And there seems to be no barrier that through the gift of technology we cannot overcome, no person we cannot reach, no connection we cannot make. But when we choose to take a closer look, we begin to see the dark underbelly of this gift of technology. While some barriers are broken, others are being constructed. We may connect more easily to people than ever before, but in the process, we have changed and even completely devalued the whole meaning of connection in the first place. Conversations and friendships rely on surface level, tweetable, textable, Snapchattable, whatever, artificial communication. We know more people than ever before, but we know less people than ever before. And we are certainly less known than perhaps we have ever been. To put it more biblically, we have traded in a divine relationship, a spiritual relationship, for an artificial one made with human hands. We have traded in the truth for a lie. And Paul speaks to a group of people about this very issue in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, as he looks at the devastating effects that sin can have, not only on us, but our ability to connect with others and see truth for what it is. Romans 1, starting in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images, resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Very strong words from Paul as he begins perhaps his most famous epistle in the book of Romans, telling people that they have no excuse, that God is perceivable, his invisible attributes from eternity speaking to us through the world that he created, through that which has been created. Even though we know God, even though those that Paul talks about know God, they still choose otherwise. And I say we because Paul will tell us later in the book that all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Elsewhere in his epistles, Paul will give us a list of sins, and then he will, a few verses later, say, "Such were some of you." All of us have participated in sin. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. All of us have become, at least at some point in our earthly lives, disconnected from the Father, disconnected from each other, disconnected from the true human, spiritual, divine relationships for which God intended us. It started in Eden, at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where Adam and Eve for the first time disobeyed a divine decree from God and found themselves very quickly disconnected from God and disconnected from one another, going from being in a loving relationship with each other and with God to literally hiding from God and pointing the finger at one another. As Paul would say, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Perhaps this phrase could be indicative of our culture as well. We certainly claim to be wise. And technology is one of the areas where we love to pat ourselves on the back. You saw all the numbers, right? All of the ways that people are connected. How many billions of cell phones have been sold in the last few years? It is ridiculous to think of that when there are a little bit over 7 billion people on the earth, that literally there's enough cell phones sold for every person on earth to have one. And one thing that blew my mind was there have been enough texts sent per year that there is 1,000 texts for every person on earth sent every year. Is that not insane? And I know that I like to text, and that's a way that I keep up with people, and I probably send more than 1,000 texts every year. I confess that, if that is a sin, I guess. But we love to pat ourselves on the back about that, that we are so connected, that technology is so awesome, and we're always coming out with newer stuff. You know, one of the newest things that you see advertised a lot is Samsung and Google, and some of the other ones are coming out with these virtual reality headsets that you can put your phone in, and you can like walk around and you can look around, and it seems like you're actually in a setting. I've experienced that. It is an incredible technology with pieces of technology we already have and just utilizing them in a different way. But we love to pat ourselves on the back about that. And anytime something new comes out, there is like a worldwide or at least a nationwide outcry to, I've got to have that new thing. What does it do? I don't know. I don't care. It's new. It must be awesome. I've got to have that new thing. I've got to have the 4K television instead of my high-def television. It used to be that I need to have a flat-screen television instead of the CRTV tube television. You know, and I used to, I wanted a CD player in my truck when I was in high school. I thought that was the coolest thing when I actually got to install my own CD player. Now I don't have any CDs to put in a CD player. I would rather have it not. You don't even have MP3 players anymore. I'd rather just have the stuff on my phone and download music from a free source. We love to pat ourselves on the back with technology. In our own mind, we are incredibly wise. But perhaps we're a lot more foolish than we realize. Because we have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and created with human hands. As Paul says, we often worship the created instead of the creator. Worship. You might think that that means singing songs. Here's a tough question, and perhaps it's tougher for my generation, maybe not so much you. It's tough for me. Have I spent as much time in this position, in prayer, as I have in this position? Texting, communicating, connecting with people. Or maybe a way that will be better for your generation. Have I spent as much time in the position of prayer as I have sitting in my easy chair, watching Fox News or whatever news I enjoy, watching whatever's on television? Have I participated in this connection, human connection, talking to the people that actually reside in the same home that I do? Maybe kids that are out of the house or parents because we've moved out and we've left them behind. Do I spend as much time connecting with them as I do with some screen? We worship the created instead of the creator. We trade reality for shadows, as if we're staring at a wall with a light behind us and we see shadows of people and all this wonderful connection we could have, and that is what we take to be reality, missing out on true hand-to-hand, face-to-face connection. And if we stay on this path, we will remain forever unsatisfied because we have traded the truth for a lie. And here is the saddest thing about that reality. The lie isn't anywhere nearly as good as the truth. That's usually the case about lies. They seem like they promise so much, but in reality, they leave us so empty. And go back to the zero-calorie food metaphor. In reality, they leave us wanting more and more and more, and we become addicted to the lie so much that we begin to believe that it's truth, that it is real connection. In the end, we end up with zero connection. Compulsive, selfish boredom in exchange for intimate, truthful, life-giving relationships. Which one seems better to you, looking at it from the outset, staring at a phone or having a conversation with someone that you love and that you know loves you back, either be human or divine? Which one of those sound better to you? Obviously, the actual connection does. We know this to be the case. We know that it's truth. We know that it's better. But perhaps it's easier sometimes just to connect to a TV or a phone or any other kind of technology. And if we keep going that direction, we will forever remain unsatisfied. We will be a victim of spiritual starvation. Are you a victim of spiritual starvation? Going to a well that never satisfies. Looking for relationship and connection in all of the wrong places. Today, it's time to disconnect, to connect, to put away technology, even if momentarily, to start out. To put it away so that you may connect with God and that you may connect with the people around you. To essentially give the lie back to the lawgiver. To put away distraction. As I said at the beginning, technological connection should only be used as a supplement to real spiritual connection. The whole point of this series is to use technology in a God-honoring way. There is a God-honoring way to use technology, to text to one another. All of those things can be used for good, but only if they are done so in a supplemental fashion. To connect with someone with whom you're already connected. Not to build relationships or friendships. That happens face-to-face. And if we are not having face-to-face relationships with people and with God, we are starving ourselves. And look around, folks. Our country, our world is full of people who are spiritually emaciated and starving. You know how when you see a hungry child and you can see the bones sticking out on those sad commercials that come on late at night? That's what I think this country looks like spiritually. That we're wandering around and we're looking for connection and we're looking for it in all the wrong places. And what we're finding isn't satisfying us. isn't giving us anything else when right here next to us in our Bibles and in the gift of prayer and in the gift of our spouses and our loved ones and our family and our friends, right there is sitting this bountiful feast that would satisfy every need for connection that we have, yet we find ourselves connecting to something that never satisfies. Disconnect from that which disappoints and connect to that which ultimately satisfies. As I've said, this is the whole point of what we were doing this week. We started last week. We'll talk about it again next week. At the end of the service, after we have our Lord's Supper, we're going to have the opportunity for you all to take something that you can use to help you with this. It's going to be in this packet. We're going to have people at the exits to hand those out when we get to the end of the service. I'm going to tell you about a few things that are in this packet that are important. First of all, there's a family contract in here, which is basically going through this as a family and everybody agreeing on this is how we're going to use technology. This is the way that we're going to disconnect to connect. Taking a pledge with one another, everybody signing it. I know that that's, you might not think that does anything, but actually seeing this written out and going through the act of signing it will be a great way to actually start this gift to each other. And then we have one of these that is in there as well. It's a little table tent you can put anywhere, and it is basically for free zones. You set that up anywhere in your house that you want to be a tech-free zone. This is going to go on our dinner table at home, and on the back of it is actual connection ideas that you can have with your spouse or with your family. Talk about how the day went. There's a novel idea, and you can do that with each other. So I encourage you to do either one or both of those. And then finally, there's a little business card-sized card in there that is simply just a pledge that we would love for you to take, that you commit to using technology in a God-honoring way. You put your name and your phone number on there. There is a red jar at the Home Connection Center where above it says put your card in here to be entered into a drawing. And we have this basket full of all kinds of goodies, including several things from Chick-fil-A. What? Can I get a what? Y'all aren't what people. But can I get amen for Chick-fil-A? So you can go in there and you can check that out. There's a lot of other stuff in the Home Connection Center. Sally and Jared and them have done a really good job of decorating everything. And there are several recipe cards, which is ways that you can connect with your children, younger children, older children, ideas for a family movie night, ideas for screen-free, like technology-free ideas that you can do as a family. Date night, for those of you who are married, before you buy your kid a cell phone, some things to actually think about, and then other technology tips for parents. As well as several things that are online, like that TED Talk and some podcasts and all kinds of other stuff that you can check out that are along these lines. So again, this morning, I encourage you to take this challenge, to take the challenge to disconnect, to connect, and use technology in a God-honoring way. And this morning, during our time of invitation, what I would like you to simply do is invite you into a time of repentance and commitment. If there is anybody in here who needs to take time to repent of perhaps being more connected to technology than you are with God or those people around you that God has placed in your life, I encourage you to take the time to do that this morning. You can certainly do that where you are, but if you want to make that a more, you know, a more physical and more commitment level based kind of repentance, the altar will be open where you can do that as well. And perhaps it's an opportunity for you individually or you with your family to say a prayer and have a time of commitment either at the altar or where you are or with me about disconnecting to connect, to cut away, to disconnect from technology so that you might connect better with one another and with God himself. So I invite you into this time of repentance. Allow God to lay that on your heart, that if your heart, if anything is residing on the throne of your heart other than God himself, especially if it's technology, to take a moment to repent from that and commit to making a difference, to making a change, to disconnecting, to connect. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and Bill and Lynn are going to lead us in a song of invitation. Again, the altar is open, and I am here. If you would like to pray with me, move in whatever way God is calling you to. Father, we thank you for this connection we have with you right now. A gift that we often take for granted and we seldom realize how incredible it is to speak and you hear and you listen and you respond. God, I thank you for each person in this room, the connections that we in this room have with each other. And God, I thank you for the connections between the people of this room. Those that are sitting side by side in a pew, or maybe those that are sitting at different points of the auditorium that have been friends for decades. God, we thank you for those connections. And God, we thank you for the way that technology helps us supplement those connections. At the same time, Lord, we repent for trading the truth of spiritual and human connection for the lie of technological connection. And God, I pray that you would help me and others in this room this morning repent. Repent of where we have traded in the truth for a lie. And choose to connect to you and to others in a real way moving forward. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.